The separation of church and state, a premise not found in the Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence. It's referred to in the writings of Thomas Jefferson and has been given a level of authority beyond that of the Bible. It's now a high wall designed to keep God in a box while we as a nation do whatever we please. So what's the inevitable outcome? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. As America begins a new era in Washington, Erwin Lutzer comes now with part two of his crucial analysis of a simple question. Is God on America's side?
You know, I just have to say this. As many of you know, I was born in Canada and was a Canadian citizen living here for 35 years in the United States with a green card. And 2 years ago, I became an American citizen. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm an American citizen. I love to say, my fellow Americans. I'll tell you this. Complain all that you want about the United States. With all of our problems, I wouldn't trade the United States of America for any other country in the world. But the question before us today is simple but complex. Is God on America's side? Is God on America's side? Part two, because last year I preached on part one. Is God on America's side? All of us know that God has been officially banned in America from the public square. He's been banned from government, he's been banned from education, he's been banned from science, and he's being banned from the workplace. And people are saying that God must stay on the other side of that thick high wall called the separation of church and state. But we all know that after 9/11, God was allowed off the reservation and at least for a brief time was allowed to come back into public life. God bless America signs were everywhere, including porn shops. Everyone was saying it is time for God to bless America. What Americans didn't realize at that time and what they must realize again is this, that I'm going to give you three propositions from the scripture and then I'm going to give us five mandates today. But first of all, number one, as I emphasized even in the last message, God can both bless a nation and curse a nation. Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Lord through Moses says, "Behold, I have laid before you blessings and cursings. You choose blessing and you obey me and you will be blessed. You disobey me and you will be cursed, because I can do both to nations." Jeremiah Wright, whose rantings we all heard on television, was wrong in saying that we should say, "God damn America." But in this sense, he was right, namely, that sometimes God does indeed judge nations, and he is presently judging us, as we shall learn in just a moment. When most Americans say, "God bless America," they're talking about the cultural God that we have, the God of capitalism, the God of political strength, the God of freedom. Most people mean, "Oh God, please keep us from terrorist attacks. Please keep my children healthy. And above all, don't let the stock market fall any further." That's what they mean when they say, "God bless America." But will you remember that God can not only bless a nation, but he can also curse a nation? Second proposition is simply this, that God's judgment takes different forms. It takes different forms. You know that a person asked me one time, "Do you believe that God is going to judge the United States of America?" I smiled. Is God going to judge the United States of America? He was thinking of some cataclysmic event in the future. Of course God is going to judge America. Right now we are under judgment. And that's because of the natural consequences of our sin. For example, the Bible teaches that sometimes God uses outside powers to judge us, as he did in 9/11. And by the way, we've just come from Europe, and Europe is terrified because of radical Islam. It may well be that most Muslims would like to live in peace, but unfortunately, that's small comfort because it's the radicals that determine the agenda. And God could use radical Islam to judge Europe, which has largely turned its back on God, and that may be our judgment in our future too. God sometimes uses outside powers. But the most normal form of judgment is just the natural consequences of sin. For example, in Deuteronomy 28, God said to Israel, "If you turn from me and disobey me, I'm going to have your families are going to be smashed during this time of tribulation, during what is called the captivities. There's going to be famine in the land." And there's some very gruesome things in that chapter that I will not mention. God says the destruction of families, that's a judgment. And here in America, we have accepted divorce, we have accepted immorality, and tonight 20 million children will go to bed with only one parent. And the devastation that that is going to bring in the next generation when they marry and have no role models, it continues to increase like a snowball. Somebody told me recently that $10 billion is going to be spent in the next several years, I forget the number of years, just over all of the teenage pregnancies, where you have young women who are pregnant today who brag about it because of the immorality in our schools. All of that is a part of the judgment. You sin and you reap what you sow, and the judgment begins to boomerang. You also have such things as the knowledge of God is eclipsed. One of the most terrifying things in Deuteronomy 28 is this. God said, "Israel, when you turn from me, your children are going to serve other gods." So today we have the proliferation of the New Age movement. You have occultism that we've spoken about in other messages. And people are dashing about looking for some other god. And your children will worship other gods. That is a judgment of God when we turn from the truth. We could go on and talk about economics. We could talk about natural disasters. We're having many of them. Are they judgments? Of course they are. But that does not mean that the people in China are worse than the people in some other part of the country. It doesn't mean that those who suffered Katrina are worse than the people in Las Vegas, for example. We can't make those kinds of judgments. But let me say very quickly that when you see a natural disaster, you should say to yourself, this is what sin looks like. You know, when the levees break, and you see all that devastation that took place a few years ago in New Orleans, you should say, that's what sin looks like when it is out of control. Because the nature has been cursed, just as we have been, because we are sinners because of sin. All that is just the natural consequences of a fallen world and sin, and that is judgment. I could go on economically. We're being judged as well because of greed on the part of many people. That's another story. So first of all, number one, God can bless a nation or judge a nation. Secondly, his judgment takes different forms. And thirdly, whenever God judges a nation, the righteous suffer with the wicked, obviously, because we're all in the same boat. If same-sex marriage comes to the United States, as it has to some countries of Europe, and destroys marriage, as it is doing over there, why, we're all going to be affected, our children, our grandchildren. Some people say, well, you know, I'm in a boat. Let's suppose that all Americans are in the same boat. And they say to themselves, well, I have a constitutional right to drill a hole in the bottom of my side of the boat. Well, the problem is you drill a hole in your side of the boat, and you find out that water comes to the whole boat. That's the way it always is. When God says to the nation Israel, I'm taking you into captivity, Daniel and righteous people were in captivity too. And God says, when you're there, by the way, be a good witness for Jehovah. Let me speak candidly today. We as a church are called to be light and salt in a country that is under the judgment of God. And if I had time, I would show that even the church today is being judged, but that's a separate message. Now, all that just by way of introduction. What I would like to do now is to give you five mandates. These aren't five new suggestions that I think might work. I don't come before this congregation to preach some new ideas, some new suggestions that I would like to pass on to you. I have come today with five mandates as to what we should be doing in the midst of our moral, spiritual, and political conflict and problems here in America. Are you ready for the five? Praise God. Praise God. Are you ready there, brother? You're already dressed in your 4th of July suit, so you should be ready. All right? But before I do that, I need to answer specifically this question. Is God on America's side? My friend, it is dangerous for any country to say God is on our side. That kind of nationalism has created havoc. Because of my interest in Nazi Germany, a friend of mine gave me a belt buckle that was used by a Nazi soldier, and emblazoned on it is the cross, because the Nazis thought God is on our side. We know what happens when you say God is on our side. Abraham Lincoln's wisdom is for us today. The wisdom is simply this, that the issue is not whether or not God is on our side, but rather, are we on his side? That's the issue.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and that is the issue. Are we on God's side? At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive a booklet entitled, Is God on America's Side? The first half of it delineates seven different principles from Scripture regarding God and his relationship to nations and how he judges nations. The last part of the book, however, is on the topic of how we get onto God's side. What is his agenda for America? What is the agenda of the church in the midst of a time of diminishing influence and a time in which it is very clear that the nation of the United States has chosen to go against many of the principles, the moral issues of Christianity? What is our role? Well, here's the good news, my friend. We're not the first generation that has faced that question. When you study church history, you discover that throughout the centuries, the church has always been an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism. And so we are following our brothers and sisters, and there's a lot that we can learn from them, but most importantly, what we learn from God's word is how we can be steadfast, how we can do what God wants us to do, and to stick with it, and be the church no matter what. Thanks so much for listening today, and I hope that you will tune in next time as we continue this series, which is entitled, Is God on America's Side? The implications during this political time of year are very, very important.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series asking, Is God on America's Side? Tomorrow, five mandates for believers in a time of coming judgment. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Is God on America's side? This question's now more crucial than ever. Dr. Lutzer has written a book by this title, a book we'll send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Ask for Is God on America's Side when you call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.